So let's not be distracted by our phones, and let's not be distracted by each other. Let's focus and concentrate. Let's pray now before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together here as a church family. And we pray that we will be a blessing to this neighborhood. Help us to be thoughtful. Help us to be kind. Help us to be loving. And may that shed abroad. And may people realize that there is something special about us. Not because we are special, but because you are special. And you've loved us. And because you first loved us, we are able to love you and to love others as ourselves. Help us in that example, we do pray. And we also ask now, Almighty God, that you would be with us as we come to your word. Lord God, we thank you that we have it. We thank you we have the Bible. We thank you for its fullness. We thank you that there's everything in it that we need for salvation and everything else in this life. And so as we gather around your word today, we plead with you that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. May your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us through your word. May your Holy Spirit enable me to communicate the message that you would have us to hear this morning. Oh, Lord God, keep me from saying anything amiss. Keep me from saying anything that's of my own thought or own understanding. But may I bring clearly and righteously and simply your message from your word that you would have us to hear this morning. And may you bring it in the power of the Holy Spirit. May it not be about me, but may it be all about you. And may you bless each and every one of us this morning as we gather around your word. Help us to concentrate. Help us to focus, O Lord God. Keep us from the many, many distractions that are there. Keep us from the devil wanting to cause distractions. Keep us from our own fertile imaginations causing us distractions. Help us to focus. May the tools that we have be a blessing to us. May our Bibles be a blessing. May our notes be a blessing. May our phones or devices that we use to follow and take notes, may they all be blessings to us. May they not be distractions, Heavenly Father. And may your Holy Spirit connect your word to our hearts and our souls. And may we not just be hearers, but may we be doers also, to the honor and the glory of your great and holy name we prayed. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this is the last in this series, within the series. We're going to continue in Corinthians. When I get back, and we'll be looking at the resurrection, and we're looking at those amazing passages there and the build-up to Easter, and we can look forward to that. But now we're going to come to a conclusion of this look, this long look that we've had, this 26th long sermon look at chapters 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 14 sets out the principles to the Corinthians, the guiding principles of how to apply the spiritual gifts in the context of public worship, in the context of their corporate worship. And last week, from this last section that we've been looking at, from verse 26 onwards, we were seeing there that everything should be done for the building up. Edification is the word that's often used. The church service, the coming together, the corporate gathering like this is about building up. It's about being edified. It's about being led into God's word so that we can see what God's word is saying to us so that we can grow spiritually. Our singing, our hymns, our songs, our interactions with one another, our reading of God's word, our prayers should all be about the building up. The preaching of the word should be about the building up. And in close connection to that, we saw that all things should be done in order. And whilst I was standing outside and greeting people, someone asked the question, well, what is order? And it's a good question, because in different cultures and different settings, order can change slightly, and there's not a prescription here. But we do know that God is a God of order. And I think in our hearts, we probably know what order is. But order in this context links very clearly to the previous point, building up. And so if it's not building up, it's not order. We don't need it. We don't want it. What we want is all that builds up, and what builds up will build up in order. And so There's a contrast that's been running through this chapter 14 that Paul's been bringing to the Corinthians, and it's a contrast between tongues and prophecy. And it was to underline this principle that spiritual gifts were given for the building up of the church, not for personal private use, not for one's own benefit solely, but it was for the benefit of the whole of the church, and it was for the benefit of the building up. And so as Paul makes that point, he continues and he gives some very practical advice on tongues in that day, in that age, in that context, how tongues should be used. And he gives very practical advice on how prophecy should be used. And again, both of those, the underlying point was it was to be in order so that people would be built up. To have order so that people would be built up. He also mentions the ladies' role in reference there too. And again, we didn't go into the big picture of ladies' roles within the church. And from some of the comments and from what some people have said, this is an area of teaching which we're going to have a look at. It's an area of teaching that people want to understand. And we didn't go into it from that perspective last week, and nor are we going to go into it from that perspective this week. But the emphasis that we saw was God was wanting, Paul was teaching that things should be done in good order. Distractions should be avoided. Chit-chat around the preaching of the word should be avoided. People should be listening and concentrating on what's what. Now, as the Lord wills, at some stage in the near future of our church life, we will look at what God's word teaches about male and female roles within the church. I didn't think it would be appropriate to do it so soon after Ladies' Day, International Women's Day. But I do think this is appropriate to say at this stage. And that is, men and women are essential. Both men and women are essential to a healthy church, and they complement each other. God has clearly made them different, although the world tells us otherwise, we are different. And that difference enables us to complement one another, and that complementing one another is needed within the context of the church. And so, God willing, at a future point, we will be able to look into that teaching in more detail. But the last point that we came to last week and didn't focus on because of time and because of the way I wanted this to be structured is the last point of this whole series. And that is all things done under the authority of God's word. There was these key principles that in our corporate worship, all things should be done for the building up. All things should be done in order. And lastly, all things should be done under the authority of God's word. And we see this in verses 36 through to 38. And that's where we're going to concentrate the first part of our time this morning. And so from the question that Paul asks here, and he says, or was it from you that the word came? And the question goes on, we can conclude that these Corinthians thought themselves to be special. That the Corinthians thought themselves to be very special, in fact. And this question is to challenge them, and he's challenging them by asking them if the word of God had originated from them. Was it from you that the word of God came? We have rhetorical questions, don't we? And I think this was a rhetorical question that he was asking. He wasn't expecting them to put their hands up and say yes or no or maybe. But he was expecting them to think about it. And as he asked this question, I don't think he got a big amen. I don't think he got an applause for this question. I think if he'd brought this to a sort of a Nigerian African congregation, you know that giggle that you make, that little laugh that you make when you're nervous, when the preacher said something that's touched, yeah? And you, or for English people, we'd be looking at our feet, yes? That's what we'd be doing. I don't know what the Corinthians did, but this wasn't a question to build them up. It was a question to break them down so that they could be built up. You see, it's a very, very humbling question. And it cut to the truth of the matter. Was it from you that the word of God came? And they had to in their hearts say no. And Paul isn't finished with them. I don't know if any of you was carnal to watch Anthony Joshua's boxing match last night. For some of you, it may have been a big thing, yes? Friday night, forgive me. He hit and knocked him out. He got up, he did it again. He got up and he did it again, yes? And Paul's doing it again. He hits them and says, was it from you that the word of God came? And then they're reeling with that. And then he says, oh, are you the only ones that it has reached? He doesn't want them to miss a point. He really wants to label this point. He really wants to bring them to realize that not only did they not receive God's word as a source, but they cannot even claim exclusive right to God's word. They were not the only one that it received it. And this question was not designed to make the Corinthians feel good. It was not to pat these Corinthians on the back. This was a hard poke in the ribs, or you could say a slap round the face. Paul is saying, wake up, you Corinthians. Look, are you the ones that the word of God came to? Are you the only ones that it has reached? He's speaking to them as brothers, and we must remember that. There's a tenderness in this chapter 14. He is not saying you're not believers. He's not saying, but he's saying brothers, you brothers, brethren, brothers and sisters, together here. God's message is not exclusive to you. The word of God didn't come from you. It has come to you. And it hasn't just come to you. It's come to everybody. And as Paul goes on, we get a better picture of why he's asking this question and why he's upset and what this point is he's making. He goes on after those questions which are sort of ringing in their ears and said, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, and the Corinthians did think they were spiritual. And that in the Corinthian church, there were those that thought they were prophets. And he was addressing them directly. And maybe everybody in the church felt that they were spiritual. And there were those who spoke in tongues. And there were those that thought they spoke in the tongues of angels. And there were those that did miraculous things and did amazing things. And they were having this great time together. And Paul is saying to them, look, if you think you're spiritual, if you think you're a prophet, he should acknowledge the things that I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. Paul was concerned that the teaching he was bringing to them would go to waste because they thought too much of themselves. They thought they'd made it. They thought they were the spiritual elite. They spoke in tongues like nobody else could. That they amassed the spiritual gifts around them. They were going places. They thought they had it all. And they were thinking, and they were tempted to think, that their spirituality exempted them from this teaching that Paul was bringing. This is what Paul was concerned about. He's opened his heart to them. But he's done more than that. He's brought God's word to them. And that's the big deal here. And they thought, and maybe this is how they were thinking. You can imagine them being sat there listening to this being read out, and they've gone through chapter 12 and thinking, yeah, this is a good chapter. We like these spiritual gifts. We're on board with this. And then he hits them with chapter 13 and says, you need love, and if you haven't got love, you're nothing. And perhaps they start to think, well, what does Paul know? I'm a prophet. People need to hear what I have to say, no matter How many people have gone before me? And I know that two other people have spoken. I know the third's already speaking. But my words need to be heard. And I'm going to be number four. And I'm going to be number five. And the disorder. And who is Paul to say that there should only be three? And the people that speak in tongues were thinking, well, I'm spiritual. I can speak with the tongues of men and angels. I can switch to speaking in tongues on like that, and I speak so amazingly. And then people need to hear my speaking, and it doesn't really matter if there's not an interpreter there. It's not that important. Well, what's important is how we feel. What's important is that we enjoy ourselves. What's important that we have this great time together. Maybe they're thinking, well, I can speak in the tongues of men and angels. I know it's best of my spiritual gifts. How dare this Paul tell me what to do? Yes, love is important. Of course it is. Paul's just told us that in chapter 13. But what really matters is my gift. What really matters is my situation within this church family. What love, yes, but. Yeah, and maybe thinking, well, I know that order's important. And then I know what it's important, what people think when they come into the service. But what really matters is that great feeling we have when we all pray loudly in tongues together. There's nothing like that feeling. And how dare Paul tell us not to do that? And you see, this is a big issue. It was not Paul's ideas or thoughts that were being conveyed here. This was God speaking to them. This was God speaking to them through the Apostle Paul. And these writings that the Apostle Paul was bringing to them are the commands of the Lord. They are the scriptures. And this is so, so important for us now. Because we haven't got apostles and we haven't got prophets, but we have got God's word. All of God's word. And God's word is his commands that have been written to us. His word that has been written for us. And the wording's explicit, isn't it? He's writing to them a command of the Lord. It wasn't an optional extra. Maybe you've gone to get your burger and fries from the Burger King or whatever it's called here. And they say, would you like some extras with that? Yeah? It's an option. Would you like coffee? Would you like ice cream? It's an option. This is not an option. He wasn't saying, it might be nice, brothers and sisters at Corinth, if you could just change a little bit. He wasn't saying, please consider this, and if you think it's acceptable, you think it could work in Corinth, just squeeze it in. No, it's a command. Paul was speaking with authority, and it wasn't his own authority. It was God's authority. And this authority of God means that his writings was he was bringing the commands of the Lord, the Holy Scripture, to these people. I remember a very, very satisfying incident in my life. And it's probably not a good thing to be satisfied about, but I enjoyed the moment, and so forgive me. You know those great long queues you have in government buildings, and you have that very, very officious person at the end who's never cracked a smile in their life, or certainly not their working life, yes? And they seem to have their favorite words, which is no, can't, won't, never, ever go. Well, I came with my request, and we went down the list of no, can't, won't, never. And just before the go, I handed them a letter of authority from their superior, instructing them to do the very thing that I wanted, or needed, should I say. They were outranked. They couldn't say that. They couldn't say no to me because they were outranked, yes? And Paul is not saying this, you've got to do this because I said it. He's not saying this because I have written it. He's not saying this because I am an apostle. He's saying this because the Lord has commanded it. The Corinthians have been totally and utterly outranked. They have to listen to this teaching, not because it's Paul's teaching. They have to listen to this teaching because it is the Lord speaking to them through Paul. And Paul's speech and Paul's talking has been recorded in writing. And that writing is the Lord's word. And just as this is apt for the Apostle Paul and his writing, the whole of the scriptures have been God-breathed. The whole of the scriptures have been breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And then this is all outranking the Corinthians and outranking us. But Paul doesn't leave it there. But Paul goes on. And then there may have been some of those people thinking, I'm going to carry on regardless, yeah? Or as Frank Sinatra said, I'm going to do it my way. And we know those words echoing around the world, isn't it? We're all going to do it my way. The me monster is coming out again. And there will be some of those Corinthians, and you can see them there with their crossed arms. It's me. And Paul carries on in verse 38. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. It's very heavy. It's very, very solemn. They had a choice to make. And the choice was to recognize or not to recognize. Or deeper still, the choice was to obey or not obey. Or the choice, you could say, was to listen to God or not listen to God. And if they chose to go their own way, they were deciding not to recognize Paul's teaching, but in reality, they were choosing not to recognize God's commands. And Paul says, if you don't recognize this, you will not be recognized. And it's heavy. And it's serious. And it has huge, huge implications for us. And Christ's teaching in Matthew in chapter 7 that we've looked at before, and we looked at it before, thinking of regarding the fact that spiritual gifts don't save and spiritual gifts aren't actually a mark of salvation. And we read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to him, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Jesus was warning that there would be some people on that final day that thought that they were right with God because they had spiritual gifts and done things. Manifesting spiritual gifts does not mean that someone is saved. Recognizing the word of God, seeing that it is the way of salvation, realizing that that way of salvation is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to pay the price of the sins of his people, so that they could be forgiven, so that they could justly be forgiven. That's how we are right with God. And it would seem that some of these Corinthians were in danger of putting their trust and their faith in their own spirituality and in their own spiritual gifts. And by doing so, they were not recognizing the truth of God's word, and they were disobeying God, and they were going their own way. And it was like them saying, "Lord, Lord, we do this, we do that, but we don't need you. We want the power, but we don't want the responsibility. We want the power, but we don't want your lordship over us." The Corinthians were being told that all things should be done under the authority of God's word. And that was in particular reference to the corporate fellowship and the worship within the church service. But the reality is, it's our lives, isn't it? Our whole lives need to be done under the authority of God's word. And this message is for the church now. It wasn't just for the Corinthians. This is the big application that we should be taking away as we come to this end of this thing, that all we do is a church should be under the authority of God's word. Joshua, as he introduced the church and welcomed you here, and you are very welcome here. And as he welcomed you, he talked about us being a Bible-believing church. And we often phrase it that God's word is center to what we do, and it has to be, because this is the authority. And the message and the application for the individual believer is exactly the same now. Just as God was speaking to the Corinthians and saying, you should be subject to God's word, we should be subject to God's word. And just as he said to them then, if you don't recognize this, you're not going to be recognized. That same frightening news is relevant now. If you don't recognize God's word as God's word, if you don't fall under the authority of God's word, if you don't bow to King Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're not trusting in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you're not going to be recognized. God doesn't know you as his child. And the wonder is, we can be his child through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is hope here. But the same token of hope, there has to be a warning. There has to be a warning. And I've got to labor this warning to be faithful to this passage. And we see, tragically, churches throughout the world getting it wrong. And they're getting it wrong because they're listening to their own spiritual wisdom. And they're basking in their own spirituality. And the notion they have spiritual gifts, and they see that as a sign and a seal of the wonder of how amazing they are. And they're not under the authority of God's word. And maybe they spring up like mushrooms. And maybe things look wonderful and impressive for a short period of time. And then we see this thing crumbling in on itself. And the tragedy is not the crumbling in of itself. The tragedy is of the hundreds and the thousands, and maybe even the tens of thousands, that have been misled and don't know Christ as their Savior, because the man's ideas were more important than God's word. Tragically, in these churches where people are listening to their own spiritual wisdom rather than God's word, it means that the pastor's ideas are promoted. And friends, there's a right sense of having respect for your pastor who's in authority for you. But sometimes that goes way, way too far. And the pastor is not God. And the pastor's words and thoughts and ideas are not God's revelation. This is God's revelation. And so friends, don't be deluded. Be like the Bereans. And every time I preach, I want you to take my words home and square them against God's word. And if it doesn't square, don't listen to me, don't believe me. Come back and challenge me, please. I don't want to be responsible for that, bringing mistruth. And the prophet's words from their own spiritual wisdom seem so important nowadays. And the worship group's vibes and the spiritual gifts and the proclamations and the manifestations of thoughts and thinking we can make things happen have become more important than God's word. And it's a tragedy. And if Paul was writing a letter to many of these churches, he would be saying to us, he would be asking the question, was it from you that the word of God came? Are you the only ones that has reached? And it's very easy for us, isn't it, to point this out there at other churches, but we need to point this at our own hearts, don't we? Has the authority of God's word, the Bible, taken second place to our comfort, our experience, our feelings? And do we disguise it as a spiritual quality? Brothers and sisters, friends, we need to be very careful as a church that we do not let anything take the place of God's word. The only authority a church has is in God's word. The only authority a pastor or preacher has is in God's word. And this church at Corinth had got really, really messy because their individuality had pushed God's word out. Their own needs and desires had pushed God's word out. Their spirituality, their notion of their own spirituality had pushed God's words out. Their spiritual gifts even, the fact they could speak in tongues, the fact they could prophesy, the fact they could do these things had pushed God's word out. And friends, the only authority a church has is in God's word. And the only authority a pastor has is in God's words. And the only hope that we have is in God's words. And sometimes these things can happen with good intentions, yes? We want to attract more people in. So how do we attract more people in? Well, we just put that there. Because we need to give people what they want, an experience. We need to give people what will bring them in. Some noise, some dancing. Let's sweating. Let's make the dance happen. Let's have a smoke machine. Let's have a sanctified saxophonist. Let's have better teas and coffees and snacks. Let's have more comfortable chairs. Let's not have chairs. Let's have sofas. Let's have shorter sermons and longer, or whatever it is. Let's not talk about sin because that scares them. Let's have some more positivity. Let's tell them what they want to hear. You will have a great week. You will be wealthy. In Jesus' name, all these things are meant to happen. But what is needed is God's word. God's word is the only thing through the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to change people's lives. A smoke machine, a saxophonist, a light display, Starbucks coffee, sofas, they're not going to change people's lives. The Holy Spirit working through his word changes people's lives. And friends, if that ever changes here, leave Run away. It's going to be no good to you. And if you go to a church and it offers you all manner of magnificent things, but God's word is not central, don't go there. Don't be satisfied with it. Only be satisfied with his words. That's what we need. And so, friends, as we hear this exhortation, as we hear this warning ringing in our ears, we need to apply it even more to ourselves. And then the Lord knows your heart. And then some of you have been here for the last so many months, the last 26 weeks, 26 sermons of going through this series. And some of you have been here longer. You were here when we started in 1 Corinthians. God knows your heart and how you've been receiving this series in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. And the big question is, what are you going to do about it? Chapter 12, verse 1 starts off and it's telling us that we are not to be, he doesn't want us to be uninformed. We saw there that spiritual gifts are important to the church. Are you believing that? Are you seeing that? And carrying on in chapter 12 from the section 4 to 10, we saw that there's a variety of spiritual gifts. Lots of different ones. And we realized that's not the only list. There are other lists, but we focused on the two lists that are there in chapter 12. And we saw clearly from God's word that the spiritual gifts are not primarily for personal use, but they're for the building up of the church. In verse 11 of chapter 12, we saw that you don't get to choose your spiritual gifts. They're given to us by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit wills, and the Holy Spirit empowers them when the Holy Spirit wants them to be empowered. And you don't go and say, well, today I'm going to do it. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit is the giver of these gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to use them. They're all under the control and the authority and the responsibility and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot be taught spiritual gifts. We emphasize that. You cannot be taught spiritual gifts. As a school of prophecy, and there is those things here on the island, and practicing speaking tongues are all rubbish. That's not how it works. That's not how God set it out to be. In verses 12 to 13, we see that every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit the moment they come to faith. Praise God. We've got a room full of the temples of the Holy Spirit, dwelling with you because of what Christ has done for you. And in the moment that you become a believer, not only are you enabled with having the Holy Spirit upon you, but the Holy Spirit pours out God's love in you, his gift of love. And then verses 14 through to 26 of chapter 12, that we see clearly that spiritual gifts are not a sign of spirituality. They're not a sign of maturity. You're not only a Christian if you can speak in tongues. You don't only have the Holy Spirit if you can speak in tongues. These things are not truthful. They're not here in God's word. We are one body, and we need each other. We need to care for one another. We need to look out for one another. We need to build up and be built up. Or the other way to put it, we need to be blessed and we need to be a blessing, and we are this as a body and we are all needed. And no part of the body can say they are more important than the other. We are all important within the family, but we are just a body. But we're an amazing body that God has put together, that the Holy Spirit is working in. In 27 through to 30 of that chapter 12, we see that no one person has all the gifts. The only person that got close to having all the gifts was the Lord Jesus Christ. And even here, there's no record of him speaking in tongues or interpreting. So we could possibly say that even the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have all the gifts. But then we could also argue that if Jesus wanted to speak in tongues, he could do that because he can do everything he wants. But that's another debate to be had. And it wasn't there in the passage, so let's forget it. 31, the last verse of chapter 12, which links us to the next chapter. But we see there that God wants us to desire and to support the gifts that build the church up. The gifts that edify. And for them then it was prophecy, and for us now it's the preaching of the word, and we are to be churches that put the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word and the word central to what we do, because that's what's going to build people up. And all the gifts that we have as a church should be working around those gifts of edification so that we can be built up. And so, yes, the tech team is important because you need to hear the voice of the preacher. And they support that more excellent way. And the more excellent way that's been talked of as we come on to in chapter 13 is love. And we're hit with that thought that we can have all manner of spiritual gifts, but if we do not have love, we are nothing. And so we're seeing this chapter 13, as I said so often as we're going through the chapter 13, that this isn't the marriage passage. Yes, there's some good words about love, but it's not the marriage passage. This is about how we should be as a church. As Christ's bride, this is how we are to be. And this love is the most important essential ingredient of the church life. And if there's no love in the church life, it doesn't matter what spiritual gifts we have or may think we have. They are nothing. And maybe the Corinthians were thinking, well, what is love? What is this love that's been talked about? And the Apostle Paul hits them, doesn't he, with what love is. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy nor boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And as those words were ringing in the Corinthians' ear, Paul was holding up a mirror to them and saying, is that what you are like? Is that your love? And as we look on those verses, we should be asking ourselves the same. Are we patient? Are we kind? Do we rejoice in the truth, or do we like a bit of the untruth? Where are we as we saw this chapter 13, verses 14 to 7? We were looking in the mirror, and I'm sure, like me, you saw that you needed a lot of work to do. I don't mean cosmetic surgery. I mean heart surgery. Our love that we have is, as the hymn writer said so often, faint and weary. And we were challenged to be more loving practically in patience and in kindness. And working on our arrogance and our rudeness. And realizing that selfishness was wrong. And we realized that there is hope. There is hope because God's love is perfect. And Christ, when he was in this world, and as we went through that passage, we looked at these attributes of love and saw Christ emulating them perfectly time and time and time again, or being the anti them, the opposite to them. And it's because of his love there is a way of salvation. And because of the Holy Spirit at our salvation, pouring God's love into our hearts, there is a hope for us. Friends, there is hope for you and I here this morning to go out into that world loving patiently, loving kindly, not being selfish because of what has been done for us. And then as we moved on in chapter 13, we saw that the spiritual gifts come to an end, verses 8 to 12. We saw that they're not everything, they will come to an end, but love never ends. And as we were going through this and other parts of God's word, we were seeing that God's word, and we're seeing from God's word that this apostolic period, this needing the apostles, needing God's word to be brought in person and being written down as it's been recorded for us in his word, has finished. The apostolic, the prophetic time has finished because we now have God's word. It is complete. We have the apostles' doctrine. We have the prophets' doctrine. We have God's word teaching here. And as we were thinking a little bit earlier, this is God's word. This is God's commands. This isn't the ranting of Paul and James and Timothy and Matthew and Mark and Isaiah and Ezra and Samuel and others. This is God's word. The Holy Spirit inspired it. And as we have God's word, as we have all that we need, as the foundation has been put in place, there is no more authoritative revelation needed. We don't need prophecy that thus says the Lord. Yes, God may bless us with intuition. God may bless us with insight of the future. But God is not going to bring more of his word. His word is complete. We have it all, friends. And the Old Testament and New Testament prophecy has ceased, and the need of the extraordinary signs to show that that was God speaking then are no longer needed. But what is needed, what is so important, is 13:30. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And chapter 14 starts with pursue love, and we are to pursue love. And as a church, that's what we should be doing. As a congregation, that's what we should be all about, pursuing love. And our church services should be an expression of our love to God and our love to each other and our love to the neighborhood and our love to the lost. And while we're in our churches, while we're having our services should be a place, as we saw from verses 1 to 5, where it was all about the building up. Yes, for the Corinthians, there was a contrast between tongues and prophecy. But for us now, the big thing is, are we being built up? Are we building up? And as we carried on in 14, we saw from 6 to 25 about the contrast between tongues and prophecy. And the contrast in the tongues and the prophecy was not the big deal. The big deal is the principles that Paul was teaching them. And the principles that Paul was teaching them were outlined again in 26. All things to be done for building up. In 27 through to 33 and 40 at the end, all things are to be done in order. And then as we hear all this teaching ringing in our ears, it's brought together, and Paul is saying to us, God is saying to us, all things should be done under the authority of God's word. And so, friends, as we come to the end of this section, there is lots that we've learned. There's lots that we've been challenged by. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? Will you submit to the authority of God's word? And I think that's something we should ask ourselves at the end of every sermon we hear. And every time we read God's word, and every time we interact with the scriptures, we should be asking ourselves, are we going to submit to this? And it may be there are parts of this you don't want to submit to. I'd ask you to faithfully wrestle that through with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And there may be things through here that you want to submit to, but you know are going to be difficult. Ask the Lord to help you. And you may be thinking, I've got it all in order, and I'll just ask you to go back and have a proper look at your heart, because you probably haven't. But what we all need to do is leave here with that thought ringing in our ears. Are we going to submit to the authority of God's word? Or are we going to put our personal preferences first? Are we going to put the notions of our favorite internet preacher first? Are we going to put our faith in some prophet who claims first? Or are we going to put ourselves firmly under the authority of God's word, which has never changed, which will not fail, and will never return to the Lord void? I want to give you a few moments just to think and pray over what you've heard, and then we will have a prayer that I will lead, and then our closing song together. So please pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you right now, and ask that God to help you to submit to his word. As soon as I've said amen in the prayer, I'd like the choir and the pianist to come forward and we can start our closing hymn immediately. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's complete. We thank you that you've given it to us. Oh Lord God, forgive us when we've put other things in front of it. Forgive us for when our own comfort, our own perceived spirituality, maybe our own notion of spiritual gifts, maybe tradition, religion, maybe the denomination. Lord God, you know our hearts. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, if we've ever put anything above your word. And help us now, as we've clearly seen from your scriptures, the importance and the absolute vital nature of being under and being in submission to you and your word. Oh Lord God, may nobody here ever say, Lord, Lord, I've done this or that. And may no one ever hear the horrendous words of depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord God, as this warning is ringing in our ears, may each and everyone here know themselves to be right with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there are any here who don't know you as Lord and Savior, may now be the moment they come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And for those of us that know you, we do pray again that you would help us to walk this Christian life in a way that honors and glorifies you, and in a way that is always under the authority of your word, submitting to your will, submitting to your voice, submitting to your ways. And may your name be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.